everybody. This is your host, Science Says, on PlayStation3News.com podcast. I'm joined here with my friend, Ryan LaForge. Ryan, what's going on today?
Not much, Sam.
So, tell the podcast community a little bit about yourself. How long have you been playing games?
I've been gaming since about the time I was 10. Online game was Battlefield.
10 years old on Battlefield. Alright, yep. So we're going to jump straight into the news here. Got to get this out here. Alright, the first story I have lined up today is Walt Disney buys Marvel Entertainment for $4 billion. Basically, Disney decided that they didn't have enough companies under their belt, and they wanted to get more Marvel Entertainment. Sound good? Alright. Being the fact that a completely pointless story, at least to me, is over. There is a new video on PlayStation3News.com of a Sony PSP Go unboxing. If you want to go check that out, then the link, or you just go to the main site, and it should be pretty close to the top. It might be on the second page by now. But something that I am very excited for is this God of War Blu-ray disc completion, or whatever it's called. What that is God of War 1 and 2 in 720p HD, and it's for the PlayStation 3, so if you haven't beaten those games yet, they're terrific games. I recommend you go out and rent one, especially if you have a PS2 or a backwards compatible PlayStation 3. Those games are just terrific. I would definitely recommend going picking this up. You also get a couple of featurettes on the disc. They're not too clear as to what that is yet. At least I don't have the story on it. And Ryan, what's your take on this?
Well, I think it'd be pretty sweet to go back and play all the God of War, especially since I haven't, you know, really been with the series much. I haven't really played the first or second game, so it'll be good to go back in time and get to play those games.
Yeah. I remember I beat every single God of War on the hardest difficulty. That is the only game that I'll actually do that on. With the exception of Metal Gear Solid. I'll do it on Metal Gear Solid and God of War, but pretty much anything else, nah, I'm not going to do it. So if you guys haven't played those games yet, I'd recommend you waiting for this little Blu-ray disc thing. It's coming out this holiday season, and that will get you geared up for God of War 3. In fact, I'll probably go pick it up myself. The next rumor is about Starhawk, and I'm actually quite impressed with this. Supposedly they're including single player in Starhawk, and of course Warhawk didn't have a single player. And personally, I wasn't too big of a fan of Warhawk. Ryan, have you ever played the game?
Yeah, I played Warhawk a lot. I wasn't a big fan of it either. The servers were fine, but when you played the game, it was all autolock. There was no skill really involved. There was no dedication needed.
Yeah, I pretty much just didn't like the way they had it set up. I thought it was a game where you were completely always in a plane. And, when I got to go out around on the ground, I was pretty impressed. But it kind of felt like it should have been a first-person type of game. I mean, a lot of people like it. It's just not for me, personally. But Starhawk, I may actually give a go. I'm a little more excited for Mag, though, than that. So there's also a video for Heavy Rain on the site right now, PlayStation3News.com, or I should say PS3News.com. And what that video is it's just basically answering questions for Heavy Rain, which I am extremely excited for. Many people have not played Indigo Prophecy, which actually surprised me, because that is one of my favorite games on the PS2. I mean, it was just so well done. I was astonished. So I'm pretty excited for that. Ryan, do you ever play Indigo Prophecy or any of the other games?
No, I didn't. I haven't even heard of them before. How was the gameplay in there?
It's kind of like it's sort of like a movie, only you get to choose where you want the story to go. You like pick something will flash up on your screen, and in the beginning of the game, not to spoil it for anybody, basically you commit a murder. and this one detective is trying to chase you down and catch you, and you have to make sure that no one can catch you, and it gets really weird. A lot of people have compared the story to The Matrix, and there are a lot of similarities. I've seen that, but it's still a pretty fun game. I'd recommend it to anybody who has enjoyed like those point-and-click adventures in the past. Okay, so Uncharted 2 for the PlayStation 3 console was dubbed the best console game, which I find quite funny since it is not out yet, but everybody can already tell that's going to be a smash hit. I love the beta. The beta on that was just awesome. Part of the reason for picking up Infamous, not the entire reason, but that is definitely one that had persuaded me to getting it. But I will almost definitely do a review for Uncharted 2. I can pretty much guarantee that you will see a review from that. I'll have to get it cleared with Boss and everything, but I mean, even if Boss doesn't want me to do it, I'll just do it with the Power Man. So I'll get through with that. EA exec. You know what? I forgot to ask you, Ryan. What's your take on Uncharted 2?
Well, I played the beta 2, and I thought the co-op was really impressive. The online game has potential, too. It just depends what kind of direction they want to take it.
Yeah, I wasn't very impressed with the online play. Like, the co-op, I loved it. That was one of the best experiences I've had in a while. But, I honestly feel that Resistance 2's co-op was a little bit better placed. I don't know if that's just because that was the beta. They didn't really have it done yet. But what I'm hoping is I'm hoping to get sort of a Resident Evil style one, where your friend could be with you throughout the entire game, or if they're not with you, they can at least watch you play, so you can complete the game pretty much together. And basically, whatever trophy you unlock, they unlock as well. So that would be the best. But what they had set up wasn't that bad. But I mean, you know, pretty good. So, EA exec predicts PlayStation 3.5 before the arrival of PlayStation 4. Now, after reading the article, which can be found on PS3News.com, what they're basically saying is there's going to be add-ons for both the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 to sort of keep them alive for a little bit longer. I think this is completely ludicrous. What's your take on it, Ryan?
Yeah, I share your opinion on that one. I don't think they should do that. I think they should move ahead and focus on the PS4 more than anything. Mm-hmm. And the Xbox 720.
In addition to that, the PlayStation 3 should last for, I'm going to say, at least 3 more years. The only real problem with the PlayStation 3 is the amount of RAM in it. They decided to go with XDR, which is fine, but it's extremely expensive. And that was the only real way they could get the real power of the cell processor harnessed. They just couldn't push it through the bandwidth fast enough or some other technical stuff like that. But 256 megabytes of XDR, just it isn't enough. Most gaming PCs have at least 2 gigabytes of RAM. And honestly, I kind of wish they would have at least put 1 gigabyte in. That probably would have extended the life a little bit beyond. And I understand RAM's not really used very much for gaming, but just that little bit would help it so much more. That's just my take on it. But recently, PlayStation firmware 3.0 was released. And that will probably be our main topic for today. They released something called Dynamic Themes, and you can order those on the internet now. I know there's a Sackboy theme, and I believe there's an Africa theme, which I believe it's free, actually. So I have yet to check it out, but that Africa game is already released in Japan looks quite interesting. I don't know if I'll buy it. Have you seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen any of that yet.
Well, what it basically is, because I know a lot of people haven't been watching it, it's basically like a safari. It's not really a game per se. It's kind of like if you were to make a screensaver and you wanted a screensaver to be completely different every single time you turned it on, that would be a great thing for it. So I don't know if I'll buy it. I've got too many other games that I want to play, like Gran Turismo 5 and Uncharted 2 and God of War 3. So I probably won't get that one if it comes out this year. If it comes out next year, I'll consider it. I have to see what Sony has in the works. And I believe next year Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker is coming out. And I'm more excited for that than anything else, to be quite honest. I couldn't care less about Rising, though. So we're finally to the main story. This is PlayStation 3 firmware 3.0, which I already mentioned was out. Some of the changes include the boot screen has changed. It does not say Sony Computer Entertainment anymore, and I believe the sound changed slightly. I haven't really... When I turn on my PS3, most of the time it's on my HDTV, so I can't really see it. To be quite honest, I don't really like it. I mean, I can warm up to it, I'm pretty sure, after I'm done. I'll be all good. But what didn't make sense is why they added sparkles to the back of the XMB theme. That was completely pointless to me. What I would have personally done is, I wouldn't say it's a completely bad idea, but instead of putting just sparkles, why didn't they put the PlayStation's X, circle, square, and triangle icons just, you know, popping out in the back? That would have been my personal choice on that. Some sort of custom remote play settings. I don't know what those are. I have not checked them out yet. Hopefully they fix that glitch where you can turn on your PS3 over the internet, and if you have that enabled, it basically will randomly turn on at times of the day. That was a bit of a pain because I'd always have to shut it off and stuff. Other new features. One that I did like was the status indicator that tells you if you got mail or something else, or how many friends of yours are online. That I will actually use. The what's new section I think would be great had Pulse actually been a full video instead of a preview. There was also that white background added to all of your friends. That is annoying to me. I can bear, or it wouldn't be so bad if say it was black or something. But being white, it kind of strains your eyes to see their name because their name is also white. So that's a bit of a pain.
All it is a huge cluster, and I mean, you can't even have the comment that long. All that is just wasted space.
Yeah. If they would have put, like, the trophies at the bottom or something and left it transparent, I would have preferred that so you could see all your friends' trophies without having to go into their gamer card or whatever you want to call it. Trophies showcasing your hardware current trophies update. 3.0 gives developers the ability to modify how to display their trophies, blah, blah, blah. So basically what that is say you beat a game and you platinumed it, and then an add-on comes out, and that add-on has new trophies with it. It basically sorts them out so people know that you did complete the main trophies, you just didn't complete in the add-ons. Like, for instance, when I beat Killzone 2 and got the platinum on that, I had the platinum, and people kept on asking me how I got it without having 100% of the trophies. But overall, what's your opinion on this new firmware update, Ryan?
Well, I'm good with everything. I like the idea of moving themes. And I like how they added option... what would you call that? Wording to the options so that it tells you exactly what's in there, so it helps new people that are on the system.
Mm-hmm. Well, really. The startup logo... That is quite odd. I don't know why they changed that. I didn't understand why they did that on the PS3 Slim.
I actually just don't mind that. I mean...
I don't mind it either, but even back on the PS2, I remember the boot screen would always say Sony Computer Entertainment, and then it would go into the to the game automatically if you had a game in, or the options if you didn't have a game in. Yeah, I suppose. That reminds me of Metal Gear Online. The original one, not the new one. The original one was so much better.
The original was awesome. And we're both MGO veterans ourselves, in case you guys didn't know.
But, that was an awesome game. That was the first game we played together, actually. Anyway, the status indicator. So I already went through all that. So let's move on to another topic. And this is pretty much just a free-range area. We're about 15 minutes into the podcast right now. The topic I want to talk about is Canadian television. Ryan, you live in Canada, correct?
Right.
All right. Now, last night, I decided to point my PlayStation Eye at the TV while I was watching Scrubs, and then I watched Dexter. And, Ryan, what were your opinions on those show, or on those shows?
I love those shows. I never seen Scrubs before, but Dexter was pretty awesome, too.
Yeah. Dexter, that was the first episode. So, Ryan watched that, and then Ryan asked me a simple question, which made me question him this. He said, "Have I ever seen Friends?" Now, of course, Friends has been canceled in America for at least over 5 or 6 years now. I'm not too sure at the exact date when it went down, but I know it's at least 5 or 6 years. But didn't you say that they're pretty much broadcasting them as new episodes up there?
Yeah, pretty much.
So especially, I wouldn't have a problem if they, or I wouldn't have a problem with it if it was, or if they had explained that you can, or if they had like released them in one season up there, but. That to me is just laziness, but who am I to judge?
They want to make more money is what they want to do.
Well, again, Friends is one of the, considered to be one of the greatest sitcoms ever made, if you can call it a sitcom. I believe you can, yeah. So I don't really see a problem with you guys are releasing it up there, but to be quite honest, I've never really been a big fan of Friends, but, you know. What else is there to talk about? I suppose we could talk about the PS3 Slim real quick. I know, the other host, talked about it already, but, pretty much, what's your opinion on it, Ryan?
I think it'd be neat to have a small PS3 like that, and it would get rid of a lot of the sound that it creates. Because some people complain that the sound's too loud for when they're playing their game or whatever. I don't like the fact that there's only two USB ports. I don't know about you, but I use all four of mine all the time.
Yeah, but you can get a... I'm not going to give any excuse for that. Continue. If you're done, go ahead and say so.
Yeah, I'm done.
What I honestly am disappointed in is, yes, I prefer having four USB ports. That can be fixed by a USB splitter, but I would prefer to make my life easier since I always have something plugged into at least one USB port, with the exception of right now where it's in my recording bay. But, normally I do use all three of my USB ports. Probably my biggest complaint, and this has been my complaint from the start, is the removal of PS2 backwards compatibility. Now, granted, it's not that big of a deal, and it's supposedly coming over a firmware update. Now, I, like you, spent the extra money to buy one with the backwards compatibility. However, you got one of the original 60GB models. Is this correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
I ended up getting one of the 80GB models. And mine came bundled with Metal Gear Solid 4, so of course I was a happy camper, and I really didn't think too much of it. Now, having Metal Gear Solid 4 pretty much preoccupied me for over 3 months, but when I put a PS2 disc in, it doesn't play right. The 80GB models, the way you can tell the difference between the 80GB with backwards compatibility and the 80GB without backwards compatibility is the 80GB with it will have chrome trim around the edges. It will also have flashcard readers, which I'll get to in a moment. But the 80GB without it will just have gray trim. And So that's also how you can tell the 60 gigabyte from the 20 gigabyte and so on. But anyway, most of the time when I'm playing a PS2 game, if any of you have seen any of my reviews, you'll see on the Jack Daxter review, it completely chops it up and spits it out. It runs framey, it freezes, and it's horrible. And that really made me upset, not because, because I play the PS2 a lot anymore. In fact, I don't play it at all. I don't use that function at all anymore. But it made me upset that I spent the extra money just for that specific feature, and it does not work. In addition, I don't understand why they took out the flashcard readers. I mean, I know it was to save money and so on, but that also doesn't make sense that they would take out two USB ports. So, I could live without the flashcard readers, but it just seems like common courtesy to put PS2 backwards compatibility in all of them. That said, PS3 Slim, would I buy one? Maybe if I lived on my own. But being the fact that I don't, I really only need one. And this one heats up my small little corner of the earth enough. In the winter time, pretty much, we'll just say that my room is quite small, and this little power hog here will heat up my room within 25 minutes. So, I really don't need another one of these running. I understand the Slims don't use as much power, but I think that pretty much takes care of the show. What do you think? So, I thank you all for watching, and I'm supposed to put an ending song, so I'll have to see what I choose to put. Thank you all for watching, and stay tuned next time. Bye.